Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
Hello, welcome in. Happy Election Day to you. Glad to have you with us on this Tuesday edition of the Hoosier Report. It is the opening day officially of college basketball for the 2018-19 season, which means I have a problem tonight because I told you yesterday I'm not a big TV guy. I don't do a lot of movies. I'm not really into Netflix. Don't sit down a lot to watch TV, to be quite honest with you, outside of IU games. And college basketball is the one thing that can slow me down a little bit that I can't get by without tuning in the big games and so forth. But Election Day is probably my second favorite thing to watch on TV, especially as the results start coming in after the 6 o'clock hour, both locally. I like to track what's going on in Floyd and Clark counties, but across the country as well. So tonight, I've got to figure out how to watch a couple different things. I obviously want to be watching IU-Chicago State, Indiana's opener, non-conference game. I don't expect a lot of excitement by any means. We're going to talk more about Chicago State and kind of the lackluster challenge that I think they will be for Indiana coming up here in just a bit. But we'll have IU-Chicago. Of course, you've got to watch the Champions Classic in Indianapolis with Duke and Kentucky and Michigan State and Kansas. It's just an unbelievable field of talent. A lot of these great freshmen that we followed along with Romeo through the Adidas circuit and through the McDonald's All-American game, now into college basketball and probably in June to the NBA draft. I think five of maybe the top seven or eight prospects for next year's NBA draft, according to a lot of the early mock drafts out there. They're in action at that event tonight, so you got to have that on. And then, of course, I want to be flipping back and forth between some local coverage of the election and national coverage, and you got to check out Fox News. You got to check out CNN nowadays. They both give you different things and have different priorities. So it'll be my TV night of the year, maybe, and it should be a fun night, but, of course, focus tonight on that IU-Chicago State game. And it's one of those games that it's really hard to get terribly excited about it, although it's college basketball's back, so I guess that's a reason itself to get excited. But I don't know the type of challenge Chicago State will be, but it's a game where more than anything, whether it's Chicago State, whether it's another non-Division I opponent like Indiana playing Southern Indiana the other night, I'm just glad to see the game back, and I'm also interested to see things specifically about IU. How do they play defense? What's their turnovers? Who shoots the ball well from a coaching perspective? What are some of the rotations that Archie Miller goes with in the game tonight? I think we'll see a lot of different rotations early in the season. Coach Miller spoke some about that last night on his radio show, which, by the way, airs every Monday here on the Big X Sports Radio. So, big day. Also, another thing, business-related, make sure you get out and vote. No matter if you're a Republican, you're a Democrat, no matter if you care about some of the national races, you don't care about them, you maybe know somebody locally that's running for an office, whatever the reason is that gets you excited or makes you take a few minutes out of your day to go vote, make sure today you do. It's very disappointing when you look at some of the voter turnouts in our local cities at times, especially in non-presidential election years. And make sure you get out and vote today. It should be a pretty quick process. I know a lot of people have voted early. I took care of that a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. But hopefully you won't face any lines. If you do, it's still a good thing. It means people are turning out. But make sure you get out and vote. That's my plea to you every election day, no matter what side of things you're on. It's so important to voice your opinion and your vote, again, locally and nationally as well. So make sure you do that if you get a few minutes today. Let's take a look at the guest lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, I've got Hoosier Headlines, our news of the day presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. In our headlines today, we'll take a little bit more of a look at Chicago State, including a little bit more in depth on something I mentioned yesterday with their coaching situation. You'll want to hear this. Also, Andy Bottoms of the Inside the Hall with Bracketology. We've had him on with us somewhat on a regular basis when we get into February and right before the NCAA tournament. But he does a great job, and he's already doing a lot of early season work at Bracketology for 18-19 NCAA tournament. But he used all of his stats and everything that he's gathered to rank IU's non-conference games. So we'll talk about that. Also, a couple highlights from Archie Miller last night on his radio show, and another early season NBA draft board out. Romeo Langford, highly thought of in this one as well. We'll talk about that as well. And then also on the day of college basketball really getting underway, I thought Dan Wetzel had a terrific piece on Silvio De Souza at Kansas, who is not playing tonight, and Bill Self. I'm going to mention that as well. That's all coming up in segment one. Segment two, Greg Doyle, columnist for the Indianapolis Star, will be with us, presented by Coffee Crossing. You know, with Greg, if you've followed his appearances on this show the last couple of years, and even just the last couple of weeks, you never know what you're going to get from Greg. Great stuff. He has been just very, very forthcoming about a lot of things. We've had Greg laugh. We've had Greg cry. We've had Greg get mad. We've had a little bit of everything, and he is a blast to have on, and he'll join me in segment two today. Also, later in the program, Mike Pegram of Pegs.com will join me. With Mike, we'll dig into IU Chicago State. We'll take a look at some of his thoughts on the lineup for tonight and some of the key points of the game that he'll be paying attention to. That's all coming up in this Election Day show. Mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison and get $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. It's time now for some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news presented by Hoopster Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. What to expect tonight with Chicago State? Normally, I like to tell you a couple names, maybe their scoring averages from last year, maybe a team that Indiana plays has an NBA draft prospect or someone that's highly thought of in college basketball. I can't really come up with that much on Chicago State. A big part of it is because there are a lot of newcomers on their roster. There are a couple returners from last year that did play, and I guess you could say play key minutes, and also maybe had some key statistics for this Chicago State team. But one of the crazy things, I can't ever recall something like this ever, is that Chicago State fired their coach. It was Tracy Dildy after eight seasons at the end of the season, really more into the spring after not a very good year for Chicago State. What happened after that? No coach was named. They did not hire a replacement for Dildy until August 7th, which means that the current coach, Lance Irvin, has less than 90 days on the job as Chicago State enters Assembly Hall tonight to begin the 2018-19 season. That's really remarkable if you think about it. Number one, it was a late firing. It didn't happen right away when Chicago State didn't make the tournament or was eliminated from their conference tournament. It was a little lag in doing so. Then, the hiring process, there were all kinds of rumors. It almost became, I don't want to call it a national headline, but for an off season in college basketball where there aren't a lot of headlines, of course, it's been a little different this year with the college basketball scandal trial and related things going on here locally with Louisville, and always an uptick with Romeo committing and Archie Miller, a new coach at Indiana. But it got some national attention that, hey, Chicago State, it's August, and they still don't have a coach. So Tracy Dildy, Lance Irvin, his replacement, he never got to go out and recruit. Not that any of the players he would have seen in the summer would be there playing right now. Obviously, he would be preparing for the future, but really gets his tenure off to a tough start when you miss the entire summer recruiting period, the opportunity to get out on the trail. Lance Irvin, I mentioned this yesterday as well, he is very well connected in Chicago basketball, which is obviously a hotbed for talent over the years, Illinois basketball as well. He's part of the Mac Irvin Fire. It's a big, long-time AAU travel program. They've been Adidas. They've been Nike. So he's got a lot of connections and probably is someone that makes a lot of sense for that job. And maybe when he comes back to Indiana down the road, if they hook up again, could be in a little different situation than what they will be tonight. But Indiana, the big favorite tonight, I don't want to go on record and say that Chicago State won't be as good as Southern Indiana, but I think it's possible. So we'll see what tonight's game brings. But very interesting off-the-court storyline with Chicago State as they head into their opener tonight as well. I mentioned that Andy Bottoms did a rating based on all the metrics and all the research that he's done for his early season bracketology, and he's been really good, by the way. He's at InsideTheHall.com, works with Alex. But he took all of these details that he tracks and puts in a spreadsheet and has got a really good read on things with and ranked IU's 11 non-conference games from worst to best. What do you think the worst is? It's Chicago State tonight on November 6th at Assembly Hall. Chicago State 3-29 last season. KenPom ranks them, as far as Division I teams go, 344th out of 353 teams to start the season. What about the best? That should be easy. At Duke on the road, November 27th. I'm going to give you the top five. Louisville at home on December 8th. That's obviously a tough one for Indiana. Arkansas, primarily because it's away on the road in Fayetteville, a tough place to play on November 18th. Butler on December 15th. That's a neutral floor game. Marquette at home coming up here in a week. That's going to be the first real big challenge for this Indiana team of the season. Then I've already mentioned Duke coming up, of course, later in November as well. November is tough for IU. I know it doesn't seem like it tonight with Chicago State. Didn't seem like it last week with Southern Indiana as well. But keep in mind that some big games will happen in the month of November. Marquette, Arkansas, and Duke all in that order all over the next 3.5 weeks or so. When we enter early December, or late November, you could say, we're going to know so much more about this Indiana team as far as their potential, so much more on this Indiana team as far as their real areas of weakness. Have they really gotten better in defense? Have they really taken strides in protecting the basketball and limiting turnovers, which has been a problem? Both of those things have been big problems now for a number of seasons. We'll find out definitely by the end of this month, by late November. There's no question about that as well. A couple things from last night. Archie Miller on his radio show, he said during the Southern Indiana game that, quote, defense to offense was the best thing that his team had going, which I agree. They were able to get out on some transition, score a lot of points that way. Those of you that are used to watching Romeo Langford play, he is really good in transition, as are a lot of players. But hopefully Indiana can keep that up as well. Also, he talked about Devontae Green. He's supposed to be cleared and available for tonight. Jerome Hunter is supposed to be available for tonight as well. Al Durham, unavailable, it looks like, for tonight. And he did also mention another, probably one of the more interesting things, and I didn't get to listen to the show last night. I just read through some of the notes and the quotes on different topics that he had to say. He said that Rob Phinisee, who has played really well in the exhibition game and in the Hoosier Hysteria scrimmage, and even in the rumored to have played well and started in the closed scrimmage a week ago up in Indianapolis, he and Devontae Green will play together some this season, which answers questions because Devontae Green, by a lot of people's accounts, expected to be IU's starting point guard this year. Rob Phinisee perhaps coming off the bench, but with what Rob has been able to do so far and Devontae out, going to be interesting tonight to see, number one, who gets the start, and number two, how much do they play together and what the minutes and the roles look like for both of those guys playing in the same game with each other. Our next headline is about the NBA draft. And again, throughout the college basketball season, one of the things, the peripheral things to watch, a lot of NBA scouts, a lot of NBA personnel will be in Assembly Hall at IU games on the road as well to watch Romeo Langford, to watch Juwan Morgan, and maybe some others for the future as well. But it's going to be interesting on the side to watch NBA draft boards that will really get geared up toward the end of the college basketball season. And you'll get some guys that have done this for a number of years, guys in the media that also are very connected with NBA scouts and NBA personnel. They'll have a pretty good read for where they think some of these guys will go in the freshman class of college basketball, or anyone leaving college basketball as a graduate or an underclassman, or maybe someone coming over from across the ocean overseas to play. They'll have a really good idea because they're going to get this information on the down low from a lot of different sources within the NBA and the scouting community. Right now, Romeo Langford has been anywhere from 5th to 8th. In fact, the one today I'm going to talk about from Sports Illustrated, a 2019 draft board, lists Romeo at the number 8 position on this early draft board. But it'll be interesting to see. These draft boards will fluctuate based on college basketball. It'll be interesting to see where Romeo is at, say, when we get to late February or get through the NCAA tournament. Also, one quick note, Dan Wetzel, he's done a great job covering the college basketball trial in New York. It's now concluded, at least the first part of that. He wrote an interesting column yesterday on the eve, which yesterday was, of college basketball beginning for the 2018-19 season. A little unfair that Silvio De Sousa at Kansas is suspended, and no telling how long he will not play. Will he ever play again for Kansas? Some question. Because of his guardian taking money from someone in the shoe world, but yet Bill Self obviously will be on the sidelines despite not only accusations in D'Souza's recruiting, but others as well that have come up over the course of this college basketball trial. And Wetzel goes on to write that that's the NCAA. The coach is okay. The school turns a blind eye to it, but yet the player, who maybe knew nothing about the transaction that took place, and this one was pretty small, at least reportedly, and mentioned in the court case, sworn testimony, reportedly a pretty small transaction comparative to what else has been mentioned and what and been out there, but unfortunately for him, a very talented player who likely knew nothing about the underworld of college basketball and his recruiting, his very own recruiting process, will be unable to play tonight. But good column from Dan Wetzel. You can check that out on Yahoo Sports. That's the headlines presented by Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. Hoopsters is your hometown sports grill with fresh made-to-order food, a great selection of craft brews, and the best sports atmosphere around. Hoopsters has karaoke and a DJ on Friday nights, live bands on Saturday nights. Hoopsters in Jeffersonville, it's where fun happens, and of course, it's where IU and Chicago State on the Big Ten Network will be live with other IU fans. Great food, great drink tonight at Hoopsters Sports Grill in Jeffersonville. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Doyle, presented by Coffee Crossing, after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we're back on this Election Day show, and Greg Doyle is my guest. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. Now that schools are back in session, stop by for coffee on your way to drop the kids off or come stay a while once they are safely at their desk. Either way, let Coffee Crossing brighten your day. Greg, it is Election Day. I'm sure that you've either voted or will be going to vote, but before we even get into IU or Romeo Langford or any of the likely topics that we cover each week when you join me, you've got a personal race to watch on Election Day. I'm pretty sure that you, two or three, 4 weeks ago, gave us a pretty interesting story about your father. And you mentioned, hey, by the way, he's running for, I think it was state rep or state senate in the state of Florida. Am I correct?
Yeah, he's running for state senator in Florida. He lives in the part of Florida nobody really talks about. It's central Florida. It's between Orlando and Tampa. There's actually stuff there, but just no one seems to know it, unless you live there. But he's running for that, and it's been a red district for, you know, Republican for 100 years or something, and my dad is Democrat. You know, we are we are what we are, and that's what he is. And they, the Democratic Party, came to him a couple years ago and said, "We think you can flip it." And so they asked him to run. He was a retired judge, and so he had a little bit of name recognition. I guess he had a little bit of, I don't know, goodwill or something. And so they're running, and it's remarkable to watch this thing unfold from afar, and how much money he tells me is required, and he doesn't really have it. You know, and just it's kind of discouraging to hear about how money really does wag the whole election tail. And he's in the middle of it now and doesn't like having to call people and ask, but you have to ask for donations. And it's just, it's very interesting to see this happen. But he got an endorsement from Obama, of all people. And that was kind of a big deal to him. And as you can imagine, I mean, whatever you think about the president, when the president endorses you, it's kind of a big deal. So anyway, he's running, and we'll find out tonight. I was there. He ran for office 6 years ago, another office. And I was, well, not what, 6 years ago. Shoot, it was 2 years ago. And I was there the night the results came in, and it was didn't turn out well for anybody in the Democratic Party. That was the night Trump won the election, and there was like a landslide all over the country.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. Keep us posted. That is very interesting. I guess no matter what political beliefs a listener may have, you and I may have, I think we can all agree that we'll be glad to see the Donnelly and Braun ads that have interrupted so many sporting events I like to watch come to a conclusion, hopefully around the 6 o'clock hour tonight, because it's been, for a non-presidential year, absolutely overload on some of these congressional and senator races. But let's get to
hold on real quick about that. I was watching, and I don't know what it was. It was sports of some sort. It was Sports Center, perhaps. I think it probably was, but might have been a football game. You know what? It was a college football game this weekend, and this actually happened. They ran a Braun thing about how he's something about how he's in favor of pre-existing conditions, or you're not gonna lose your insurance, or I don't know, something. And then the exact next ad was an ad from Donnelly calling Braun a liar, that everything he says about what he had just said in the commercial was a lie, and we can prove it, and here's how. And then the very next commercial was the original Braun commercial, restating what Donnelly has already called out as a lie, whether it's true or not. So it was weird. I mean, three in a row commercials, two of them were identical, sandwiched around one that said the two that are identical are both lies. Weird.
I guess, and if we're going to talk politics, maybe we get a little bit of a pass on Election Day. But and there's a lot of people that follow this a lot closer than me. I'm probably more into local politics because in my community than anything. But I've never seen Braun come on and say, or, you know, with pictures of him and President Trump at the, I think he came to Evansville to rally for him a few weeks ago. But then, like what you just said, I saw Braun with Trump, volume down, not hearing anything that it said, other than he obviously is touting having President Trump's endorsement. And then I see Joe Donnelly, and I'm turning the sound up. The game's getting ready to come back on, and he's talking about supporting President Trump, and then there's an audio clip of President Trump saying, you know, Joe Donnelly's been a great supporter in Indiana of our agenda. And it's like, wait a second, who's Democrat and who's Republican? Just kind of an odd, I get why, because Indiana traditionally is a red state for the most part, but and I know they look at polling and issues and things, but just very, very interesting to hear the Democratic incumbent reference and use the president, some of his main agenda items, to maybe get reelected.
You can look at that cynically and say that's a man who wants to win, or you can look at that and say, well, that's a man who's willing to work with both sides of the aisle.
Exactly. Yeah.
And really, it comes down to how you want to look at it.
Exactly. All right, Greg, let's get into some sports. And of course, IU basketball opens the season tonight, and there's some big college basketball games. I want to touch a little bit on IU and a little bit on college basketball as a whole this season and the excitement that surrounds it. But first off, Chicago State, you know, we're glad that college hoops is back. Everybody wants to see Romeo and Juwan Morgan and Rob Phinisee and so many others get their official career started at Assembly Hall tonight. So I don't think it matters who Indiana's playing, an NAIA team, a group of an adult league team from Bloomington. People will be there to watch. But you look at this Chicago State team. They hired their coach in early to mid-August. He's been on the job for less than 90 days. He missed out the full recruiting window in the summer to get out and prepare his program for the future. He's had very little time to train and work with these guys in the off-season. It looks like Chicago State has been through almost a war zone when you look at their program and some things surrounding it, namely that coaching hire and how the firing of the last coach happened and when it happened and how long it took to hire someone. And I remember kind of vaguely hearing stuff in the off season. It came up, a couple, I think, national columnists wrote about it or something. But crazy situation with that.
Yeah, there are in college sports, there are haves and there are have-nots. And this game is a pretty good example of a have versus a have-not. The smaller you are, momentum is everything. And if momentum goes against you when you're a really small school like Chicago State, it's an avalanche. And they apparently are at the bottom of the avalanche right now. And on the bright side, they're not trying to dig out to compete with the Indianas of the world. They're competing with other really, really small schools, so they can turn it around at some point. But, man, very discouraging to be that small and to have all the wind in your face as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess we probably forget about this, but Southern Indiana, lower-level team, Division II, who will go on to have a great season, I'm sure. Chicago State, the opportunity to play Indiana is big for the competition and to play in that type of environment. But these are also called money games. The schools receive a pretty healthy paycheck, and I'm sure if you're Lance Irvin, the new coach who is really connected in Chicago basketball, wouldn't it all surprise me when he gets time to recruit that he is able to keep some Chicago talent home and do well with that program, get them back on their feet. The money boost they get from this game is the business side of these non-conference games that we don't always think about or talk about.
Yeah, and it's a really weird deal because it goes to the highest bidder. A lot of schools, they have their choice of who can we play, and we'll play the team that pays us the most money to come there and lose. And obviously they're not throwing the game. You don't have to throw the game. Whoever, and I'm not saying Chicago State this applies, but when you're a small school going to a big school, you're going to lose. And with a very few exceptions, everybody knows that and understands it, and you're just there for the money. And I guess the exposure and all that, but I do wonder how much does it really help the kids to lose by 50? Maybe that's a story they can tell 30 years down the road that I was on the same court with Romeo, and I'm sure it is. And I played at Assembly Hall with 15,000 people, whatever, and I'm sure they will. But you lose by 50, I guess it comes with a price tag.
Greg, one of the more interesting things from an IU perspective that I am really excited to watch tonight is Devontae Green. Archie Miller mentioned last night on his radio show that he is cleared, expected to participate in the non-conference contest tonight. Rob Phinisee has played some great minutes, turned a lot of heads so far in this very early season, I guess in the unofficial part of the season exhibition game, and some real positive things said about him from the closed scrimmage as well. Archie mentioned last night those guys might play together. There was kind of a thought, well, Devontae maybe we thought was the starter, then he got hurt. Now Rob has started and played really well. What's going to happen there? Well, it sounds like they might play together, which could be very interesting to see.
Yeah, you want to put your best five players on the court, and these days you can have 2-point guards on the court, especially when one of them really isn't a point guard. I mean, Devontae Green is going to play a point for various reasons, including size, including who can he guard, and he can guard the team's point guard and all that, but also he's a scorer. We'll see what kind of distributor he is. I mean, he's not bad at it, but Phinisee is a pure point guard, and Green is not, so it makes sense to get them on the court as long as you're not getting beaten up at the other end on defense. And I don't think they will. I think Archie Miller's good enough to figure out how to get that done.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star. This segment is presented by Coffee Crossing. Big college basketball on a national level tonight. It's actually in Indianapolis, the Champions Classic, and it was announced yesterday that it will return again in 2022. The same four teams, Duke, Kentucky, Michigan State, Kansas, will be involved. Dan Wetzel, who I know I brought his name up to you, I know you know Dan, has done a tremendous job covering the college basketball trial. He had a good piece yesterday. It was titled, Bill Self is the Poster Child of the NCAA's Double Standard. And basically the story, the column, was about the fact that Self is still coaching with no penalties or no suspensions or no questions, at least officially, at this time about his job situation at Kansas, while Silvio De Sousa, really a key player for Kansas, is suspended. No one knows how long he'll be suspended for because of $2,500 or so that was given to his guardian by an Adidas quote, bag man, TJ Gasnola, big AAU guy on their circuit. And probably, no proof of this, but probably Silvio had no clue that this was even happening. So he writes that, you know, players are penalized often when they didn't even know about the situation, but a coach who there sure were a lot of text and things that associated self and Gasnola and discussion about the players and wording that was a little loose. You could read multiple ways. Hard to believe he didn't know that there was some assistance and help going on, but yet Bill Self is able to coach the player, won't be a part of this big opening season game tonight.
Yeah, the most famous story I can think of involving something like this is when, it goes back to football, maybe 15 years ago, a recruit out of Memphis named Albert Means, at the time was one of the biggest recruits in the country, and it didn't pan out, but nobody knew that at the time. Alabama, some booster in Alabama bought him for $100,000, you know, paid his high school coach, or, I mean, the story's well documented, whoever he bought him. Means had no idea. He's got steered to Alabama, and probably wasn't very hard to steer a kid to Alabama, but he ends up in Alabama thinking it's probably his choice. He got sold there. And so, yeah, these kids, they're not always innocent, but a lot of times they don't have any idea what's going on, and it's the adults that behind the scenes are negotiating with lawyers, NCAA, and whoever else to see, well, who's going to take the fall for this and who's not. And so, yeah, Wetzel's, that's directly on point, is that the adults are, they're pulling the strings, and the kids are just puppets in a lot of cases, and the kids are the ones that pay as big a price as anybody, because that's your entire career might go up in smoke before it even starts.
Greg Doyle, Indianapolis Star, this segment each week presented by Coffee Crossing. Greg, final thing, Romeo Langford, it's been interesting to watch him for Indiana, obviously, even though it's not a ultra-exciting matchup tonight. It'll be really interesting to see him just in an IU uniform, see how he fits in, see how he moves, see what he does with this team, what his role will ultimately be. But one of the peripheral things that we'll be watching, I know everyone will this season, is where he's at on some of the more if there is such a thing as a reputable NBA draft board out there. And a lot of guys, scouts, already probably been there, probably will be there tonight watching him in every college basketball game with every move that he makes. It's going to be really interesting to see as the season wears on, as we get into mid to late February, as we get into the NCAA tournament in March, where Romeo is projected to go in this 2019 draft. Obviously, a lot of it will have to do with his production and performances in games this year. Another part of it has to do with just his raw ability and some of his God-given talent and movements and the way he glides and other descriptions that we've used to try to summarize what he does on the court. But that will be something off on the side, won't be related to the IU team, that will be interesting to see how he and some of these other great freshmen in college basketball, where they stand as far as NBA draft projections go.
Yeah, and I'll be at that event in Indianapolis tonight. I'll be there. I want to watch Zion Williamson. I'm going just to watch him. I just want to watch him and write about him. But yeah, this freshman class has, I guess, the first four or five or eight maybe players are going to, Romeo will be one of them, going. And they're all kind of, whether they're jockeying for position intentionally or not, and they're not, but they are. Your competition tonight, Romeo, is really not Chicago State, but it's Zion Williams down the road. What's he doing? Because we're trying to figure out who to take. And the thing with Romeo is this happens with the guys that are so good, is that we're always looking at the next step. Like when he's in high school, and I know we all enjoyed high school, but there's a lot of noise about, well, where's he going to go next? IU or Kansas or Vanderbilt? And now he's in college, and now and we're going to enjoy it, but at the same time, there's a lot of noise about where's he going to go next and how high is he going to go next. And one day he's going to be in the NBA and we're not going to worry about that, unless we're worrying about, you know, hey, your contract's running out in 2 years. Where are you going to go next? But he's that rare kid that's so talent, that's so good that we can really enjoy where he is now and also know that there's even bigger days coming ahead.
Is this one of the better college basketball freshman classes as far as talent and NBA potential that you can remember covering?
Yeah, there's been a couple in the last 3 years. There's been a couple loaded ones. And this one's right up there. And shoot, Duke's got three of them. I mean, Duke's got three of the top five or six players in the draft. And then, of course, there's also Romeo. But, yeah, this one's remarkable. We have Zion just by himself makes it remarkable. I'm not sure I'm not sure what we're watching with Zion Williamson. I just don't know. I can't even put into words what he is. But he lifts the class up, but he didn't need a lot of help. I mean, Romeo Langford, if he's the fourth best freshman prospect in this class, and maybe he is, that's remarkable.
All right, Greg, let's close with this. Bob Doyle, retired circuit court judge, author and advocate for women, families, minorities, workers, teachers, and schools. He's the candidate for Florida State Senate District 22 in Winter Haven, Florida. BobDoyle.com. Was that a good political ad for him on Election Day?
It was. I know we're big down there right now, so all you people down in Winter Haven, go vote.
Absolutely. Greg, thank you so much for the chat. Best of luck to your father, and you know we'll talk with you next Tuesday.
Yep. Thanks, Matt.
Coffee Crossing brings us Greg Doyle. When you're looking for great coffee and you're in downtown New Albany, don't forget about Coffee Crossing's sister company. It's 410 Bakery and Cafe. They have great coffee, great bread, great pastries, now serving breakfast and lunch. 410 Bakery and Cafe, located in downtown New Albany. They help bring you Greg Doyle of the Indianapolis Star each Tuesday here on the Hoosier Report. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back and dig in a little bit more to IU and Chicago State. IU's first official game of the season, the first non-conference game of the season. We'll talk with Mike Pegram of Pegs.com about some of the things he'll be watching tonight when the Hoosiers take the floor in Assembly Hall. Don't forget, we're, what, 8 days away? 8 days away from a really big non-conference game for Indiana. Late game Wednesday night next week. Indiana hosts Marquette. That will be a lot of fun to really find out more here in the early going about this IU team. So we'll probably talk a little bit about the upcoming schedule and that Marquette game as well. That's going to be so fun to watch. And again, we'll know a lot more about this team no matter what happens tonight over the next week or so after that Marquette game. That will be a real good look at this team, I think, for the 18-19 season. To a commercial break we go. Pegs is next right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, we are back here on our final segment, Tuesday show of the Hoosier Report, season 119. This is team 119 in Indiana, telling you how far back basketball, college basketball goes on the Bloomington campus is here. They'll open tonight with Chicago State, a game that we'll have right here on the Big X Sports Radio. Mike Pegram of Pegs.com is with me now to discuss the game and more about this IU basketball team heading into the start of the non-conference part of their schedule. Mike, Chicago State, not the toughest way to open the season. That's okay. Indiana has plenty of things that they can work on themselves. Archie Miller, as pleased as he seemed with this team very early on after the scrimmages at times, he's been quick to say it may get, I think he even said last night in his radio show, he used the words pretty ugly at times here early on. And I guess if you feel that could be the case, if there's a lot still to work out, as you would expect, most college basketball teams have a lot to figure out early in the year. A Chicago State level opponent may not be a bad thing for tonight.
Yeah, when you have a team with seven newcomers like Indiana, you want to play the worst team on your schedule right off the bat, and that's what's going to happen, I think, tonight. They're going to play a Chicago State team that's at the bottom of the preseason, the computer rankings, I think 351 out of 353 in the staggering right now. And don't ask me how they figure that out before they play any games. But it's just a matter of what Indiana can do against an opponent and fix some things and maybe get some guys some playing time and a real game atmosphere before they really ramp up the schedule next week. But you know, season is upon us, and the fans will be there and excited a little bit more than we saw in the exhibition game. And it's just a small step tonight, but like I said, when you have half your team is new to this, you want to take a small step first, and that's what they're going to do with a team the caliber of Chicago State.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, our guest. I know you've done a little research into Chicago State to prep your readers for the game tonight. Do they have any talent at all in this team with a new coach and a lot of non-returning players, a lot of new faces, I guess I should say? Do they have any real talent, anyone you expect to kind of lead their way, and what do you know about them as a team and a program?
You know, this is probably the least amount of research I've done on a team in my history of peaks.com. Chicago State has, you know, got, like a lot of teams, has good, some good guards, being from the Chicago area, but a lot of newcomers. You know, they play in the WAC, Western Athletic Conference, which means a lot of traveling, which makes it difficult for them to recruit. And they're in the rough area of Chicago on the south side, so that doesn't help either. They're not downtown like UIC and DePaul and some of the other Chicago areas. So it's really a tough program to maintain a decent talent level. That's why they're at the bottom of Division One. But, you know, they usually have some decent quickness, and, you know, that'll be a, you know, I think like a, for a Robert Finney, it'd be a good test, I think, for him and some of the guards to deal with a little bit of quickness tonight, at least to get somebody besides that themselves.
Mike, it sounds like a couple players ready to play tonight, back from nagging injuries. Maybe a couple others will not play tonight. What's the injury status as you know it for this team heading into the Chicago State game?
Well, Devontae Green's expected back. He's had a thigh bruise, one of those things that can kind of sideline you for a week or so, especially if you're, you know, a guard who relies quite a bit on and pushing off the leg to get by players. He should be back. I think he was cleared for practice on Sunday or so. And I think the guys who won't be playing, we believe for sure, are Race Thompson and Al Durham. Al Durham hurt himself, as you may remember, in the exhibition game. Leg injury, nothing serious. Race Thompson has a groin injury that's been bothersome for a while. And those are the guys we definitely know are out. I think Jerome Hunter has been hobbled a little bit, did not play in the exhibition game, but was not said by Archie yesterday to be one of the guys definitely out. We really want to see Jerome because he didn't play in the exhibition game, and that was right after he won the gold jersey for playing exceptionally well in practice. Apparently he was lighting it up in practice, really taking a positive step in the right, you know, for himself based on the, you know, really poor practice, not poor practice, but you know, he wasn't even near the gold jersey the first couple weeks. Now he's really come on, so we're really kind of interesting to see how Jerome plays if he does play tonight.
Mike, a lot of people concerned about Deron Davis. He kind of returned maybe quicker than what some people thought, at least to game activity in the exhibition game. And then he had a period where he was hobbling around a bit, had to be removed from the game, and did not return. But he's not been mentioned by Archie Miller as being out tonight. In fact, I saw an interview, a little brief clip with him on the IU men's basketball social media, which would appear he was in uniform and active this week. So I know a lot of people concerned about him based on the fact that he's been somewhat injury prone and is just getting over that Achilles.
Yeah, I don't believe it was Achilles related at all, but he did, I think, did turn an ankle a little bit. But I would think he would play again tonight, but, you know, Archie kind of had a window or had a, you know, kind of a statement a lot of guys he wasn't sure about. But I think the fact that Deron was able to play right in the exhibition game and in the scrimmage against Loyola was a pretty big deal because he had a little bit of setback in late April, early May with, you know, and got a little bit behind on his rehab, and he's made a lot of progress the last month or two. And he just has to maybe lose another 5-10 pounds and get into game shape, get his instincts back. But I do think there's good news for Indiana. He's able to kind of work out the kinks here real early.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, with us on Tuesdays, talking a lot of IU basketball this time of year. What are some early season things you'll be looking for now that we've had a chance to see the team in an exhibition against Southern Indiana? We heard a lot after the fact about the closed game, closed scrimmage against Loyola Chicago. For me, it's seeing Fennessy and Green maybe in the game at the same time. Who plays more? Who gets the ball? Who gets the point? We heard Archie Miller talk a little bit about that last night. Any headlines? Any concerns? Any things you'll be specifically watching in this game tonight?
Well, as far as the early season, I think the point guard is the main thing, but you know, I've been wanting to see how Romeo shoots in terms of percentages. Does he have a lot of 3-for-9, 3-for-10 kind of games? Or does he get up to 50% or higher on a shooting percentage? I think that's a big deal for him to be efficient and learn how to figure out what's a good shot at the college level versus what he had to do at the AAU and high school level where he had to be much more aggressive. I think that who has the first post guy off the bench or, you know, who are the main guys, whether it's Race Thompson or Clifton Moore or you know, Jake Forrester, where is that post depth coming from, I think is one of the things that I was curious about here early in the season. Justin Smith is the guy we kind of all viewed as kind of the third scorer on this team and how comfortable he is with that role and hitting, you know, jumpers of 12 to 15 feet to kind of complement what he can do with his tremendous explosion off the floor. Those are, you know, things that come to mind right now.
Mike Pegram, Peaks.com, our guest, taking a look at IU and Chicago State. Of course, it's hard not to look ahead. I know everyone is excited that college basketball's back, so beggars can't really be choosers as far as who the team plays and what the team, what type of competition, that sort of thing they bring to Bloomington tonight. But it's easy to look ahead when you've got such a big game lying ahead against Marquette. It's 8 days from now. IU's first real challenge of the year. Of course, they'll take on Montana State coming up here on November 9th in between. But November 14th, 8:30, a late game, a primetime game. It's on national television, Fox Sports 1. Marquette's good. They return a lot of key players from last year. They're in most top 25 rankings, I think, if not all that I've seen out there. And it's really going to be, I think, a early season opportunity to get a great read on this team.
Yeah, and even Montana State's much better than the Chicago State team that I think they're going to play today. I think Montana State has like an all-big sky player on their team and usually compete for the NCAA tournament berth out of that league pretty consistently. We'll learn a lot more Friday, I think. But that back-to-back Marquette and at Arkansas is going to be you know, the really good gauge for this team and where they are right now.
Mike, recently there have been a couple things written, I think nationally, about Indiana, small little nuggets, small notes. One piece on ESPN earlier this week even mentioned that bold predictions for the season, and one of those predictions was that Indiana would win at least a share of the Big Ten Conference Championship for this season. That's quite different than some of the preseason projections of conference standings and those sorts of things. There are some people that I think with the season here and seeing what Indiana has and getting some of the early reports out of practice and the exhibition game against Loyola and then the exhibition game against Southern Indiana that maybe are higher on this Indiana team than they were just a couple weeks ago or just a month or so ago, which is funny to talk about because there really haven't been any official games played yet to make those judgments. But there does seem to be an uptick nationally on this Indiana team. Why do you think that is with no games played really other than a scrimmage and a closed scrimmage? And do you, as someone that covers this team and has kind of got your thoughts about how the Big Ten could go and how this team could shape up, once they get some games under their belt, maybe get into conference play, get, you know, even into February maybe, and this team really be humming at its best, what type of projections do you have on a national level? Do you think that maybe mentioning IU for the Big Ten race is premature, or do you think this is a team that could develop into that point? I'm curious your thoughts. You've covered a lot of IU teams in a lot of different situations over the years.
Well, if you look at the front page of our site, that's my point of the story we put out today, that this team might have the ingredients of one that could surprise. We brought up the Ohio State team of last year where they had, you know, Kata Bates-Diop kind of help lead them, but they had a decent talent around them and they finally came together. Juwan Morgan is definitely the kind of Kate Bates-Diop of Indiana. I think when you have two guys to go to, I think people around the country, you know, look at it and say, wow, they have two guys that can step up for him, and Juwan Morgan and Romeo Langford. And they also, some of that worry about domination of Loyola in the scrimmage. But for me, I think this Indiana team could be really good defensively. They have a lot of athleticism and length. When you put that together, you know, they can really cause havoc for teams' offenses, and that's what, you know, you'll find out year after year is what, you know, terms makes a team a little bit better than they expected, because they just guarded people, and I think this Indiana team might be that kind of a team. It's one that I think will take them some. They'll probably, you know, they'll need some time. You know, they may get blown out at Duke or fall at Arkansas, and everybody will you know poo-poo those kind of comments we're making right now. But I do think in the long term, this team could come together if they stay healthy, because they have some unique things and two really good potential all Big Ten players to go with, pretty good defensive team.
Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, with us on Tuesdays. Mike, great chat heading into the official start of college basketball. Thanks for all the great things you share with us each week, and we'll talk again the day before the big Marquette game when we speak again.
I look forward to it. Thank you, man.
All right, Mike Pegram, Pegs.com, with us on Tuesdays. IU Chicago State, 6:30 tip-off, and let me set the scene for you tonight on the Big X. We've got the game at 6:30 with the legendary Don Fisher, which means at 5:30 pregame coverage will begin on the Big X. Also, once the game ends tonight, don't forget that Jared Morris and his crew from the Assembly Call will join the Big X tonight for their postgame show. You can listen right here. It's wall-to-wall IU coverage from 5:30 until late in the evening. And, of course, a reminder as well, get out and vote. It's Election Day. If you haven't already paused for 15 minutes over your lunch break to do so, please consider doing that here at the lunch hour, or maybe later this afternoon on your way home from work. Polls locally are open until 6 o'clock. Always exercise your right to vote. Thanks for being with us. Don't forget, if you miss a show or you miss just a segment, you can always go back and listen. We're on SoundCloud and Apple Podcast. Both of those are free apps, and for SoundCloud, you can also point your browser to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Again, soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. Have a great day. Vote. We'll talk with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock right here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.